and thanks for downloading the More or Less podcast. We're your weekly guide to the numbers in the news and in life. And I'm Tim Harford. This week, we're talking tennis and learning life lessons from match statistics. That's all thanks to former world number one Roger Federer, who earlier this year, in a speech that has since gone viral, regaled the graduates of Dartmouth College in the US with advice on how to pick yourself up after a knockback. There was one thing in particular, he said, that made the More or Less team sit up and listen.
In tennis, perfection is impossible. In the 1,526 singles matches I played in my career, I won almost 80% of those matches. Now, I have a question for you. What percentage of points do you think I won in those matches? Only 54%. In other words, even top-ranked tennis players win barely more than half of the points they play.
A striking claim. We wanted to know more. Tennis aficionado Jeff Sackman stepped in to serve up some stats.
I've been running the website tennisabstract.com since 2010 or so, where I post basically all the tennis statistics I can find, as well as any analytics that I work up that go along with them.
So clearly the ideal person to examine Roger Federer's quite eye-catching claim. So first of all, is it true?
Yes, 54% of the points is correct. He actually understated his one loss record a little bit. The official record has him at 82% matches won.
Okay, so he's being rather modest there. But so people will find that surprising. He's basically only won half the points, just over half the points, and yet completely dominated in terms of the number of matches he's won. So how can that work?
Well, commentators love to say that the margins in tennis are small, and 54% it sounds close to 50% in overall terms, but in tennis, it's a pretty wide margin. And one way to think about it is imagine just flipping a slightly unfair coin over and over again. And really, tennis is just doing the same thing over and over and over again. A typical tennis match has over 100 points in it. So imagine you've got a slightly unfair coin where there's a 54% chance of it coming up heads. If you flip that coin 100 times, you might not get 54 heads. You might get 52 or 56 or even 49, but you're almost always going to come out above 50%. So that's not exactly how tennis works, but that's a good way, I think, of understanding why if you repeat that 54% proposition over and over and over and over and over again, then you're probably going to win more points than your opponent. You're probably going to win the match.
So, I mean, do we know if you're winning 54% of points, do you know what the chance is of winning a particular game at those odds?
Yeah, if you win 54% of your points, then you have a 60% chance of winning the game, almost exactly 60%.
And then similarly, if you've got a 60% chance of winning the game, you're highly likely to win any particular set, which requires you to win six games and to be two games ahead. And then if you're, I don't know, 75% chance of winning the set, then you're over 80% chance of winning the match. That's the kind of the way that the probabilities stack up.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I'm curious as to whether there's something unusual about Federer or whether you see the same basic pattern with other top players. So, I mean, for example, Serena Williams. Did she have similar numbers or is it quite different?
The way the numbers break down is a little different because women's tennis isn't structured quite the same way as men's tennis. But since 2010 or so, we don't have good women's tennis data going back before that. But since 2010, so the second half of Serena's career, she won 55.5% of her points. So a little more dominant than Roger, but not overwhelmingly so. So she's in the same range.
And presumably a similar match winning percentage. She's winning about 80% of the matches.
Yeah, that's about right. I think she's a little bit higher, but yep.
And if you're wondering about some other notable players, Andy Murray has won 52.8% of his points, and Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal have tied on 54.5%. Now, one of the features of tennis, of course, is that you take it in turns to have games where you're serving and games where you're receiving serve, and it's usually an advantage to be serving. How do the points win percentages tend to change between your service games and your receiving games?
That's something that differs a little bit between the men's game and the women's game. So let's start with Federer as an example. Over his career, he's won just short of 70% of his points on serve and just short of 40% of points on return. So that works out, if we average it out, that works out to about 55% total. It's a little bit less than that because he played more points on return than he did on serve because he was so dominant on serve. But that sort of breakdown being 60 to 70% of serve points and 30 to 40% of return points, that covers most professional men players.
Yeah. And for women?
It's roughly about 5 percentage points lower for all those numbers. So it's possible someone like Serena can win 70% of their service points, but most women are going to be between 55 and 65% on serve, and then correspondingly 35% to 45% on return. And the very best women, Iga Świątek, the current number one, is a great example, can win close to or even slightly more than half of their return points. So rather than conceding return points, she's so strong that return games are actually starting very slightly in her favor, as well as her serve games, of course, working in her favor as well.
And so those numbers are consistent with, I think, the perception that the serve is more of an advantage for the men than it is for the women. You'll have more breaks of serve in the women's game.
Absolutely, yep.
Now, I'm curious about mixed doubles, because this is one of the unusual settings where you have men and women at the highest level of professional sport playing against each other. Do we have any data about the win percentages of women serving against men or men serving against women? And what does that tell us about the game?
There is not a lot of mixed doubles played these days. And there's the further complication that the players who compete in mixed doubles are often not the very best players. They're very good doubles players, but the top singles men and women are often not competing in mixed doubles. But we do have some numbers based on that limited data. And to throw out a couple of them, men serving in mixed doubles win 65% of their points. Women serving in mixed doubles win 61% of their points. Now, that doesn't control for the returner, but that gives you an idea. There's about a 4 percentage point gap in terms of how strong they are. I think there would more likely be a bigger gap outside of the context of mixed doubles, because there's some strategy in double serving where players serve more for placement and angles than they do in singles. Singles is more serving to win points, get the opponent on the back foot, whereas in doubles, it's a little bit more strategic.
Well, what I'm hearing is that there is an advantage, but it's not as dramatic as some people might assume.
Exactly, yeah.
So Jeff, I am curious. Roger Federer has given us this stat, which he's simultaneously using to explain that failure is very common, and also that he is one of the greatest players who ever lived. I mean, is he also the greatest humble bragger who ever lived?
It is a pretty good one to sneak that in and say, I lose so many points, but I do win so many matches. But it's also just the nature of the game. And I guess if you're giving a commencement address, you're implying that it's the nature of life as well. So much of tennis is about recovering from those lost points, which, as Federer points out, happens almost half the time, 50 to 100 times in a single match. And if you do let yourself get distracted by that, then you might not have the same success rate. And because the margins are so small, that might be enough to turn the match against you. So it is a humble brag, but it's also just a true statement about the nature of the sport.
Our thanks to Jeff Sackman. That's it for now. If you've seen a number you think we should take a look at, please drop us an email to moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We will be back next week. And until then, goodbye.